The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
Hudson Mason, quick throw, got it to Bennett in the slot. Touchdown.
So let's talk Bulldogs football with former UGA quarterback Hudson Mason.
All right, let's see if my throat can handle it one more time. He's Hudson!
Hudson
Mason, host of the Locker Room. You hear him morning 6 to 10 here on The Fan.
Christmas in Dixie, here comes Santa down that train track.
He is our truest Bulldog reporter joining us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Hutt, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing good.
You sound excited. I like that. So the big talking point now, it's happening everywhere, is has Georgia caught and passed Alabama as the elite college football program in America? So if we assume right now, just today, they're having a better year, a better couple of years, that's fine. Isn't it feel like it's a little premature that we're going to start doing this? Considering, and again, I think the world of Kirby in Georgia, last year was the first year Kirby Smart had not lost two games or more. I just feel like we're so quick to rush to this stuff, or maybe you believe they are. Have they passed Bama in your mind?
They've certainly caught them in my mind. They're right there neck and neck with them. Have they passed them? I don't know if I'm ready to say that they have passed them yet, because, you know, the dynasty that Nick Saban has built is, you know, we're talking about a decade long. We're talking about, you know, in the college – or. You know, the last time a coach won back-to-back national titles was, Nick Saban, something Georgia has a great chance at accomplishing this year. I think that conversation will apply if Georgia wins back-to-back titles, and they're obviously the huge favorite. But last time a team did that, Kirby Smart was on the staff as a defensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa under Nick Saban. So I think this year in a lot of different ways has revealed a lot about the SEC, maybe more parity than what we thought, with, you know, Tennessee and LSU. But also, you know, one of the reasons why Alabama was so dominant is because the recruiting class just blew everybody else away in the SEC. And now Kirby's kind of stole some of those guys. He's in those stacked classes at Alabama. Some of those guys have gone to Georgia now. And so I think it's created a little bit more balance. And Kirby has built an absolute machine in Athens. So I would be shocked if we're not sitting here at the end of the year. Maybe shocked is a little hyperbolic. I would be a little surprised if we're not talking about Georgia being back-to-back national champions when this is all said and done this year.
There is conversation. I'm part of it. About, there's a little lull every Saturday, but then Georgia steps on the gas. And help me understand the difference between, like, the kid at Mississippi State. Now, the Georgia part was, you know, the clock and possession and the fact that you even punted. But the kid from State made a play on the punt return. You're in the SEC. How do you balance that kids make plays sometimes versus is it a failure on our part? Because I think my takeaway watching this year's Georgia team is, damn, I'm even more impressed with last year's Georgia defense.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Chuck. It's like these guys play in the SEC, and as perfect as we want Georgia to look for 85 snaps a game, I mean, you know, you've got freshmen out there, and, you know, freshmen can do freshman-type things, and these other players and other coaches get paid really good, and they know football really well, too, and they've got, you know, I sometimes think We're getting spoiled as Georgia fans, and we nitpick a little bit, and maybe that's what, you know, fans do in general, but Georgia's been so dominant that, man, they give up a special teams touchdown, yeah. They throw an interception, sure, but for the most part, when you sit back and think about the games, man, I mean, they've never been in doubt. Like, at the end of the day, they've been in total control, so I don't expect my team to be perfect. Maybe some fans do. I don't have that expectation for them. But, you know, there's even this week, I mean, Kentucky as bad as their record shows?
They don't block in the middle of the line at all, yeah. Brother. I mean, yeah. Will Levis is beat all to hell.
Yeah, he is. They've certainly looked terrible, and so has Will Levis. But you know, you just you don't know what you're going to get week in and week out, and maybe they flip the switch, and maybe it's a little bit more of a ball game in the first half. I don't know, but Georgia has been able to step on the gas pedal this year and blow teams out and, you know, really never make it in question when you look back on it.
Hudson Mason with us. You hear him morning 6 to 10 on the Locker Room. He's our truest Bulldog reporter on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Maybe this is nitpicking, but I thought it was some good introspection from Kirby Smart, who said the last 2 weeks he hasn't been happy with the way he's handled the clock in the late stages of both first halves of the last two games. Now, against two opponents like they played the last 2 weeks, probably not going to be a big deal. Is that something, though, if, like, you get to a first round of a playoff or you get to a national championship game, that's when we might focus more on that. But if you're Kirby Smart, like, how do you get better at handling clock and game management situations when typically Georgia's got big leads all the time?
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know, Matt. I mean, I've never been a head coach, and I know I'm stating the obvious, but I've never had to deal with, like, clock management thoughts or clock management questions. I guess as a quarterback, you do to an extent in a two-minute drive, and you're thinking, but, you know, you're always overruled by the coach, and so you may be thinking one thing. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers this week. I mean, he didn't like one call that was called by Matt LaFleur, but he didn't change a play. So, you know, you can have a different opinion as a player and as a quarterback. You're the second most in control person besides the head coach and the play caller on the field. But at the end of the day, the coach makes decisions and you got to ride with what he wants to do. And so it's a great point because, you know, decisions like that could cost you in the playoff or the national title game. And Georgia just hasn't been in those situations this year because most games, if none of them at all, have been a fourth quarter ball game. So Kirby has had the luxury of kind of learning where it doesn't cost them, and that's what you get when you're so much more talented than everybody else and you're leading 14, 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Hutt, let me ask you about Jalen Carter. He looked, boy, for the last couple of weeks like he hadn't missed a beat, his dominant self, and all of a sudden the NFL people are back to talking about him being number one or number two in the draft, which is such a compliment for an interior pass rusher. He is the picture of game wrecker.
He sure is. What is so impressive to me is that this guy didn't play. I was sitting here like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I'm going, why does Mel Kiper and Todd McShay still have him as a top five projected pick? The guy has barely played at all this year. And I just kept scratching my head. I'm like, does tape not matter? And then he comes back against Florida a little bit, but then the Tennessee game, you could argue that maybe Georgia doesn't win without him, completely dominates it. Dominates again against Mississippi State, and you're like, oh, that's why. Like, I don't think the stats, and we saw this last year with Trayvon Walker, like, he didn't put up gaudy numbers, but when you look at the tape and their ceiling and you understand that there's so many good, talented players, and Kirby's got a philosophy where he's going to play a lot of different guys, you have to apply context to Trayvon Walker and certainly this year where, you know, you just – stats don't mean much in this defensive system because there's so much talent. So many guys play different positions and they play a lot. And it made me quickly realize, like, oh yeah, that's why he's projected to be a top five pick as an interior defensive lineman. I mean, he flipped the switch so quick after being hurt for so long, and he makes it look like he's playing against like high school kids. Like, and that is not easy to do in the SEC.
Hudson, we were talking about Justin Fields and then Desmond Ridder and, you know, what may happen Sunday. Steve Young, I remember him, and I've heard a lot of quarterbacks say something like this, but I want to get your opinion on this. Steve Young, I remember he just said flat out, he said the only way quarterbacks get better is playing in games. He says you can do everything else, and it's great, and it's awesome, and it can help you get prepared, he said, but the only way you really improve. So talk about the dynamic of Desmond Ridder and running scout team and doing a lot of watching. And because according to a lot of QBs, that really doesn't get you ready to play.
I totally agree 100% with what Steve Young is saying. And I think the biggest thing that you don't get in practice, and I know this is obvious, but you don't get the bright lights. You don't get the 90,000. You don't get the crowd noise. You don't get those elements, and there's no way to replicate that at practice. You can pump in fake crowd noise, but you can't replicate and try to practice lowering your heart rate, you know, when in a big moment or on a two-minute drive. Like, those are just moments that you learn by on-the-job training, and there's no way to get it. And so I think if you ask coaches all the time, they'll say, and every coach could probably point to a guy where it's like, practice, All-American. And then the lights came on, and he was a different player. And so I absolutely agree with that statement. Practice reps are one thing, and you can look good, but I think there's always an unknown element of how players are going to or how that's going to translate from practice to the game.
Hutt, last thing for you. Let's talk about Stetson Bennett, who I saw some numbers today that if he just plays kind of similar to what he's done, where he averages about 280, 290 yards passing a game, he's going to break Aaron Murray's single-season passing mark, which, like, if I said that a year ago, everybody would have said you're nuts for predicting such a thing. This is one of the more kind of crazy rides from walk-on, barely recruited to he's going to go down in the Georgia record books. He might win a second national championship. He's on the NFL radar. Like, I can't come up with a comp to this.
Yeah, I mean, think about 2020, right? Go back to 2020 and the Georgia-Florida game where I think he got hurt and was benched, or he got benched. Maybe it was the next year he got hurt. And, you know, that's kind of the beginning of the Stetson Bennett era. And you would have thought, if I would have told you just a couple years later that this guy was top seven in the Heisman odds and breaking Georgia passing records and could be potentially back-to-back national champion. I mean, it's just the craziest plot twist we've seen in a long time in college football. And I know the narrative last year was, oh, but he's got a great defense. But to me, like, what's the most important stat or what's the most important thing out there as it relates to quarterbacks? It's winning and championships, right? And he's got those. And now you throw in, if he just averages 250 yards for his remaining four or five games, he's going to break Aaron's record. And so now you throw in the stats with it. I mean, his legacy, and I don't think it's a controversial statement, if he wins another national title, he has to go down as the greatest Georgia quarterback of all time, right?
Like, Hoyt.
My gosh. No,
it's
if he has the title and all the records, yeah, it's a pretty strong case.
Oh, my God.
Well, is that
it.
A controversial statement?
No.
It should be, right? It should
no.
be.
No. Is he the most talented? No. Is he the most prolific? But would he be the what is the greatest supposed to be? Championships? Combine some numbers, and Stetson would have all that.
Chuck, can I give you a group of names real quick?
Throw it out there.
Herschel Walker, David Pollack, Charlie Trippi, Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem
as
with
far
that?
As Saturday players, as far as what you did on a Saturday,
my
which
goodness.
Is what this conversation, that's
most accomplished
all that
players in Georgia football history.
What
right
has happened?
Good night.
I love it. Check out Hutson Mason each morning with the Locker Room 6 to 10 for more hot takes like that. He's our friend, Hutson, our truest Bulldog reporter. Thank you, Hut.
See you guys.
Hutson!
All right, coming up next, Hutson. This is the perfect example of a low-risk, high reward.
Cocaine.
How's that a reward?
If you're looking to drop a few pounds, I can't recommend cocaine fast enough.
Chuck here for cocaine. What an endorsement. No, this would be the perfect example of a low risk, high reward type of a free agent that Alex Anthopoulos should consider for the Braves. We'll talk about him next.
I lost 14 pounds in only 12 weeks.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.